Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, as I mentioned, my guests here in the studio this morning, Farmington City Manager Rob Mays is here to bring me and everyone up to date, I hope, on the San Juan Generating Station that's been in the news recently, and there's been lots of things being said. And Mr. Mays, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Scott. It's good to be back with you.
Thank you for coming in and sharing some information about what's going on with the coal-fired power plant. And I guess to start our conversation, we should mention that the reason that the city of Farmington is so involved with this story is that the city is a part owner of one of the units at the plant, and that gives you the standing, I suppose, to negotiate and be involved in all of these conversations, the city, that is.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's a very unique position that we find ourselves in. You know, the fact is, if the city of Farmington sits back and does nothing, it's absolutely clear what will happen. The plant will close as scheduled, as PNM intends, in 2022. But as you mentioned, because Farmington is a partial owner, the story here really begins back in 1981 and became very relevant right here about December of 2018, which launches into a set of reactions that for effective post 2022.
So, right.
We are a very small, less than 10% owner of the plant. But the original owner's agreement, again established in 1981, set out that in November of 2018, all the owners have to indicate their intentions for post-2022. So that date isn't just arbitrary. That 2022 date that's been thrown around for the last 2 years by PNM for getting out was set in motion back in 1981.
I see.
That's
all right.
The end of the owner's agreement for the plant.
Gotcha. All right.
And then in November, as I said, in November of 2018, all the owners are required to formally indicate their intentions for post-2022.
And they did that.
They did. So all the other owners are leaving the plant post-2022. But the owner's agreement call for the shares of all their exiting owners automatically convey to the remaining owners. So in a very strange and unusual and incredible set of circumstances, the city of Farmington finds itself the owner of an 800 megawatt power plant.
100% of the shares, I guess.
100% of the shares in terms of the rights to continue its operation.
I gotcha. So here we are.
So here we are.
Okay.
And so that's not as simple as it sounds.
Oh, it never is.
It never is, because again, we are a very small community and a very small utility. We have no ability to use that type of energy at that scale. So what we are in the process of doing is have the opportunity to market the plant for a merchant operator to come and operate it, and you take it outside of the Public Regulatory Commission as a regulated utility for profit or investor owned, and move it into what's called, again, a merchant operation, which is essentially investors that own a plant and speculate on the energy market and sell the power.
Okay.
Essentially, you know, outside of this region, outside of New Mexico.
And this is what brings the ACME firm into the conversation.
Yeah.
And this is the group that you have identified and have started talking to about this possibility.
Right. So one thing to understand, again, is how quick the timeline. As I mentioned,
yeah, very quick.
this opportunity began in the middle of November, and in fact, with holidays and so forth, we really didn't have the green light to proceed with the clarity from all the owners till more like into December. Then you have the holidays. So really, this is a January till now. We're talking that's the type of timeline we're dealing, but that's our window of opportunity. And unfortunately, the urgency to move very quickly was brought about by the legislative process and the timing of this legislative session in January of 2019. And again, remember, a timing set in motion in 1981.
Right.
And so one of the things that we ran into at the legislature, which we've been spending quite a bit of time there over the last several weeks trying to honestly fight for the opportunity to keep the plan alive. The timing was unfortunate for everyone. Those that have been the sponsors and backers of the Energy Transition Act had a path they've been on. They've been working on many things in that bill, good for us, and we appreciate. But all of a sudden, we brought in at the very last minute this new angle that we were asking the state to consider, and we just really were not able to get the state at this time to. In the legislation itself to acknowledge this opportunity. And so that's kind of where we're at now, and we'll come back to that and talk about where we go from here in a minute. So that's the timing, and that's where we're at.
And that is, I think, lightning fast when we talk about governments and negotiations and things like that, when this all just started maybe first of the year or so.
Yeah, so that's where I was headed. I kind of lost my train of thought. So when this opportunity became, we hired a law firm in Washington, D.C. that specializes in energy transactions and putting together deals like this. It's an investor portfolio that comes in. This isn't one person going to buy a plant and operate a plant. So there's been a lot of misinformation about ACME out there as well. They aren't power plant operators. They are investor, they're developers. Like every other merchant operation, we've had people come constantly to us wanting to develop solar and other things here, and we're like, great, do it. And those developers have been unable to get investors to come and do those things. This is a very different situation. So this group won't be operating it. So let me back up. So our group of attorneys in D.C., mm-hmm. We basically were hired to market the plant. The simplest way, like a realtor, we hired them to be our broker. They put together the specifications, the data, all the factors associated with this plant, its value, its specs, how it operates, its costs, and put it out there on the market to see if any investor groups were interested in obtaining it. The unique factor here that it's entirely different is that it's the price is a dollar. So that's important, and if someone can joke about that and say, well, it's not even worth a dollar, but the fact is it as an asset that sits on the ground, it could be worth $100 million in terms of what it is, if there's a place for it to operate. That's the key. So our group, in a very short time window, identified this group, vetted them, and brought them forward. And as we looked, we had a number of groups that were interesting, some with very far out ideas that just had not been scientifically proven or scalable, to groups that maybe wanted a very short perspective, keep it running for 2 or 3 years, maybe to run bitcoins or data mining off of it. Well, our vision isn't just to keep it alive for a couple of years. Our vision is there a possibility this could remain a sustainable, environmentally responsible asset for this community and particularly for the jobs? And that's why we were attracted to ACME, because their vision is long-term for the plant, not short-term, and includes this incredible vision for environmental stewardship related to carbon sequestration technology, which is, this incredible angle here that over the course of the last several weeks, as our due diligence continues, it becomes more and more viable that this is a real possibility.
Sure. And so there's a lot of things I want to pick up from what you said there, Mr. Mays, and ask you about, because I know, again, it's a controversial topic. There are a lot of folks that are very pleased that the plant may be shutting down sooner than later, and that the Energy Transition Act has passed both houses of the legislature. We expect the governor to sign it. It's one of her signature, literally signature pieces of legislation that she's been very
proud of, and the whole idea is to move New Mexico away from fossil fuels and into more renewable energy, and that was what is contained in this bill. So is there a future, even with this bill on the books? Is there a way for both to coexist?
Well, there is, and what I would hope, and I would take our governor and others at that they're not just anti-coal. I'm hoping they're actually pro the environment, that there's actually substantive truth behind that. This isn't just about being pro renewable sources of energy, that this is about actually having responsible environmental stewardship for the future of our globe and actually doing something positive that could affect global climate change. So there is a future. This legislation is put up another roadblock in our way. There's no question about it. And I can talk a little bit about what our thoughts are there. But I want to step back and say exactly what we did at the legislative session. And this is maybe the most important thing for your viewers to understand. The city of Farmington, San Juan County, Central Consolidated School Districts, the coal miners, one by one, we all fully endorsed the Energy Transition Act. We were not down there to oppose the Energy Transition Act. We were asking for one simple amendment, Scott, and this is very, very important, and I hope you tell everybody you get a chance to tell. We asked for 90 days to conduct a complete feasibility study that would prove out what we're hoping to be true about the potential for this transaction. So people are saying, why did you gamble on this group, or why have you? We've taken no risks, no gambles whatsoever. As I said earlier, if nothing happens, the plant closes. That is the law of the land now in New Mexico. What we asked for was 90 days to prove that we could comply with it. So this act doesn't say all of our energy, that a power plant can't exist in New Mexico. It says that the power plant has to operate at under 1,100 pounds of carbon emissions per megawatt hour.
Okay.
And so
certain standards. Operation. Okay.
And so this plant with carbon sequestration would more than comply, and in fact, be the cleanest source of energy of any of the alternatives proposed by PNM for the closure of this plant. So again, if it's about environmental stewardship, everybody ought to be jumping on board this. The most extreme environmentalists ought to be embracing this idea, because this plant would operate cheaper at a lower emissions rate than wind or solar, backed by natural gas. Now that's a whole important point, because remember, it's a myth that we can be 100% renewable. That's impossible unless you're willing to only have electricity 30% of the time, because that
when the sun's out, the wind's blowing.
That's right. And so we know that the sun never shines at night, but the fact is it's intermittent all day long. Last year in the United States, Scott, only 17% of the energy consumed in our nation was generated by renewable sources.
Right.
That means that, the other 80-some percent was produced by fossil fuel. And of the renewable energy, you have to remember, again, it only works effectively 30% of the time. So until the technology that can proliferate utility-scale economical storage exists, there is a window that we will be dependent upon fossil fuels, like it or not.
And this is that maybe 20-year time frame,
sure,
that you're talking
right
about,
so
this plant could fill that gap.
Right.
But and that is what you're proposing, what ACME is aware of, too,
right. So
I suppose.
There's two benefits. One, we believe there's absolutely economic viability for the next 20 years in the United States. Batteries may or may not emerge and be able to fill the storage bill,
right,
meaning that 70% that the sun doesn't shine. We're not going to change that with technology.
Right.
The wind's not going to blow more in the sun. So storage is the only thing that can fill that 70% gap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a technological challenge there. There's a natural resource challenge. There's impacts on the environment associated with mining for batteries. There's impacts that are being ignored in terms of what are we going to do with all these batteries. So I believe that the battery technology will continue to develop. And it is beginning to be installed at utility scales, but only in places where it's being highly subsidized, or being forced, where utilities are being forced to install it through portfolio standards, like in California.
And let me ask you about one other thing, there's multiple things I'm going to ask you about, but one more I want to ask you about, which is the purchase price for this plant. You mentioned it's it would be sold for a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I suppose when people talk about the price of producing energy, they talk about how cheap now renewables have gotten with solar panels and wind farms and things like that, and that coal no longer is economically viable because of the cost involved of that. I suppose if I'm an investor and I can buy a multi-million-dollar plant for a dollar, that changes my spreadsheets as I look back on my return on investment to maybe make this type of energy more affordable for the long term. Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, and make sure I don't forget to actually answer your question when I go back and say something.
All right. I don't even remember what the question was. It was so long.
When people quote the prices of renewable, they're mostly quoting the governmental subsidized cost. So they're not necessarily quoting the actual cost. They're quoting the subsidized cost. So that's the first thing to remember. They're not necessarily quoting the cost of actually installing and integrating these energy sources into the grid. And they're conveniently forgetting to calculate the cost that you have to build a dispatchable fossil fuel resource that can be dispatched, meaning the sun goes down, you power it up. Coal doesn't chase the sun very well. You power it up and you run it. So you have to have more expensive fossil fuel sources that can back up the solar. So they forget to put the cost all in when they compare it to coal.
Okay.
The other thing that they do is that power plant out there, if you have to operate coal effectively and efficiently, I'm not suggesting that PNM isn't doing that, but they are a different model of business. Certainly there's a reason why Farmington's rates are 10 to 20% cheaper than PNM's. We want it very efficiently in a nonprofit environment. There are issues associated let me back up and try to not lose your question. So I just wanted to say, when people talk about the price, it's only half the story.
There's some hidden costs, perhaps.
Right. We believe, and more importantly, our investors believe, that the facts are that the plant can run economically. The price for coal is lower than is plugged into PNM's modeling. You know, the coal mine, they're at the table. We believe that the plant can be run in an economic way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I believe or what you believe. This is the thing we're trying to get across to people that keep saying it can't happen. Well, if it can't happen, then what are you afraid of? The plant will close. If it can happen, it'll operate. But you're absolutely right. It won't operate unless the coal sequestration can be installed, because we embraced and endorsed this law to those lower standards.
Right.
It won't operate if there's not anyone to buy the power. If there was something, because that's the hard part.
Sure.
But we believe there is a market, and we believe that there's a particular market over this 20-year span potentially that we've talked about that coal will play a place.
So if you have this cleaner coal, does that make more potential markets, I guess, if it's not the dirty coal-generated power?
I think it absolutely could, but we're not banking on that. Our investors aren't banking on that particular element. They believe there is a market now. At the end of the day, electrons don't know how they were created out there in the grid. And as long as there's a market and a need for the power, trust me, people, no matter how environmentally sensitive they are, how misinformed they are about the realities of the limitations of renewables, when they have to be backed up, they want to charge their cell phones. And so the day that the lights don't come on, people won't care where it's coming from. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to have blackouts in our country. I think we're orderly moving this way, but that's what gets me to my point. The reason this is so exciting isn't just because it could save our 1,600 jobs, although that's huge, especially if you are the coal miner or the plant operator that's going to lose your job, and that's all that matters to you.
Of course.
Probably. But this technology is emerging. So and it won't take you long to answer questions that will exceed my scientific understanding of carbon sequestration, but the bottom line is the base science has been proven, has been used for 60-plus years. It's a chemical process that you run through that pulls out the CO2, and then you has to be shipped and done something with it. Well, in our case, there's a pipeline here, already a CO2 pipeline out of this basin that goes to the Permian Basin, and there is a market. So the CO2 is a byproduct. It's a profit. Sort of. So back to the point about your dollar. That was your question.
That was it. You got there.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
I got there. I told you, don't let me lose this.
You found it.